Good evening, my lovely ones. Tonight, you're going to hear the true tale of the enchanting princess known as Sleeping Beauty. You see, the story told so often to children is a twisted retelling of actual events. It's very much a story of true love in both versions. But over time, we've learned to hide all those parts that hint at the undeniable nature of what we really are. Naughty, filthy little perverts who just want to fuck and be fucked. Yes, you see, over time the story has changed to tell of a beautiful girl who fell into a deep sleep when she pricked her finger. But that's not how it happened at all. Once upon a time, there lived a king and queen who wished for a child. Years passed, and still they waited. But finally, one day, they welcomed into the world a lovely, fair-haired, blue-eyed darling whom they named Rose. To celebrate the birth of their long-awaited daughter, they threw a grand ball and invited everyone in the kingdom, or so it seemed. As the guests sat down to a grand feast, the doors to the ballroom flew open. A fiercely beautiful fairy entered, her face flushed with anger. The king rose to discover the source of the commotion and immediately called over his footmen. "What is she doing here?" he whispered angrily. "I know not, Your Highness. Your instructions were strictly followed. No invitations for those who visit the king in his private chambers after nightfall." "Well, apparently someone made a mess of things. Begone with you while I handle this situation." The king stepped towards the woman, speaking softly in attempts to appease her anger as he tried to guide her toward the door. "You, sir, are sadly mistaken if you think I'm going to creep out of the castle under cover of darkness as I have so many nights before," the woman announced in a voice that carried through the ballroom. "I'm here to see the child, and I shall see her." With the queen's wide eyes fixed on her husband's every move, the king relented, taking the fairy by the arm and walking her towards the cradle containing young Princess Rose. "A lovely child she is, fair of face like her mother, the queen." At this, the king sighed with relief and almost began to smile. "It's unfortunate that she'll turn out to be a dirty little whore, perverted and insatiable just like her father." A gasp arose as the guests turned to one another, chattering and questioning the strange turn of events. "Yes, this one will grow to be beautiful, very beautiful. But beware the beauty, because she'll also grow to be lustful, licentious, a wanton little slut. And if, like her father before her, she can't control those urges, there will be consequences. If she welcomes a man into her sweet flower, the delicate rose between her thighs before her 17th birthday, then she shall perish." A strangled scream burst from the throat of the queen. Slowly, an old woman approached from one of the tables far in the back. She took the queen's hand and walked toward the child. "It's been many years since I've had need of my powers," the old fairy said, "but I shall call them to my service once more for this child. A heart full of desire and a body seeking pleasure is no sin." Here she looked pointedly at the king. "As long as all parties are sufficiently pleased, this young girl may seek out the company of a man before she is of age, but death shall not be the end. Rather, she may be saved from the other side if the day finally comes when he that can meet her needs freely and with pleasure of his own shall come." You can imagine the days and weeks and years that followed. The king's dirty little secrets were out, and he spent many a night trying to make up to the queen for his philandering ways. Of course, the nights he wasn't apologizing, he was in his private chambers, entertaining a guest or two. The princess grew, and just as the fairy said, she became more and more lovely each year. At the same time, she grew more and more interested in all the pleasures that the castle offered her. She'd spend hours riding her horse, slowly rocking back and forth in the saddle, a soft smile of contentment on her face. She spent long mornings in the bathhouse, lounging in the steam, running cool water down over her breasts as she sweetly offered to lather and scrub each of the ladies in turn. And though her parents kept her isolated, especially from the male members of the castle staff, whom she would shamelessly press against in the hallways, she had plenty of company as she spent evenings reading in her room, gently stroking the soft pussy that curled in her lap, purring contentedly. But one day, mere weeks before her 17th birthday, it was her sweet little pussy that led the princess out to the stables. She searched through the stalls, calling out for her kitty to return. Suddenly, she found herself in the tack room, facing the stable boy, Richard. "Excuse me, boy, but have you seen my sweet little pussy?" Rose inquired. Richard, who was new to the area, stopped his work to stare, open-mouthed, at the princess. "Please," implored the princess, "I need some help finding my pussy." This was all the encouragement young Richard needed. He dove across the room, yanking the princess's skirts over her head, forcing her roughly to the ground. She shrieked, both in fear and with a rising sense of thrill, as the strange man grunted and moaned, sliding his calloused hands up her legs and tugging on her undergarments. "I got your pussy right here," the stable boy proclaimed triumphantly, as he forced his dirty fingers into sweet, delicate Rose. The princess gasped, at which Richard responded, "Yeah, you like that, huh?" But when her body fell limply to the floor and the princess did not reply, the stable boy stopped his clumsy attack upon her cunt and slowly backed away. "Oh, shit! I'm fucked!" the young lad wailed, as he hastily covered her limp body with loose hay, and ran from the stables, never to be seen again. Thus it was that the young Rose fell victim to the curse. She was fingered by a prick. When her body was finally discovered, the kingdom mourned the loss of their princess. They built her a shrine, surrounded by thorny briars, to protect the body of their delicate Rose. There she lay for many years, until one fateful day a prince passed through the forest. Prince Philip was on his own, banished from his kingdom of birth by his father, who branded him a perverted little fucker and advised him to conceal his desires lest he be stoned, or worse. The prince had come to the kingdom in search of the home of Princess Rose after hearing of her terrible fate. He felt a sort of kinship with the girl, and grew more and more curious about her the more he heard of her tale. And so it was that he stumbled into the clearing that afternoon, where his eyes fell upon the princess. She was adorned in a pink gown which accentuated the pallor of her skin. Her long blonde hair spread around her head, sprinkled here and there with flowers fallen from the surrounding trees. He saw her there, so peaceful, so pale, so dead, and suddenly felt himself growing firm in his resolve. He understood this princess and felt a sort of pleasure at her fate. Dying for sex? His cock grew stiff in his breeches as he approached the lifeless body before him. The prince glanced around the clearing and saw no other sign of life. Slowly he approached the body. He ran his hands along her arm, cold and motionless. He slid the tip of his thumb over her lips, noting that no warm breath escaped. Then he moved slowly to the end of the platform, slipping his hands under the edge of her skirts and slowly sliding them up over her smooth, white thighs. He allowed a small moan to escape his lips as he climbed on top of her, tugging his cock out of his pants and beginning to stroke himself. His heart pounded and his cock throbbed with excitement as he gazed down at the still figure of Princess Rose. Slowly he leaned back on his knees and began to remove her undergarments. Years of exposure to the elements left them paper thin, and they shredded as he slid them down to expose the folds of skin beneath. Using his knees, he spread her legs open, then slowly pressed his cock against her flesh with increasing force, until finally her lips parted and welcomed him into the depths of her sweet cunt. Our dear prince had always been a naughty one, but never did he imagine that this fantasy could come true. As he thrust into her lifeless form, he moaned in ecstasy, grasping at her cold, hard nipples and feeling himself quiver. In mere moments, he felt himself building toward release, and he leaned forward to press his lips against those of the dear princess, just as he filled her pussy with spurts of his hot, dripping cum. You can imagine his surprise when the kiss was suddenly returned, and the princess's warm breath washed over his mouth as she moaned. "So that's what it's like," Rose whispered. "Please, sir, fuck me again." And so he did. Again and again, all over the kingdom and in worlds beyond. The prince and princess found new and exciting ways to pleasure one another, with no regard for the judgment of the world. And that, my darlings, is the real story of Sleeping Beauty and her prince. They fucked happily ever after. The end.